Welcome to the ministry of Barefoot Church. I'm Clay Neesmith, the pastor here at Barefoot Church. And man, we hope what you experience here today will encourage you, motivate you, and inspire you in a great, great way. Today, I want us to look at a passage of scripture found in your Bible in Mark chapter 5, where Jesus begins to speak to a man who really didn't have his grounding in who God had said he was, and he had taken on multiple names, multiple personalities, and Jesus spoke into his life, transformed his life, and changed his life. Now, oftentimes we can get busy kind of doing life and never take the time to listen to what God says about us, and more than that, begin to understand who he says that we are. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus had been sharing what we know as parables or stories or analogies, where he had been sharing about the kingdom of God and how people could relate to God and his kingdom. And what Jesus said in at the end of those parables is simply something amazing. He says, "Those who have ears," he says, "may they listen and understand what I am saying." And so what God wants us to do is not only listen to his word, but begin to own his word or understand his word and find our identity in who he says that we are. And then we get to a passage of scripture after Jesus and his disciples come off of this incredible ministry run where they're sharing the good news about the kingdom. They come to a region. They get out of the boat. Jesus had just done an incredible miracle in front of his followers where he had calmed the waves of the sea. And they're kind of riding on that high. And then they sort of hit this unexpected encounter with a man. And Jesus has a lot to teach us today as he encounters this particular man who did not know who he was. And he actually had so many things going on in his mind about who he was. He couldn't even identify himself. And Jesus speaks into that and forever changes this man's life. And I want to say to you today, if you're so busy or so confused about life and purpose, God really wants to speak into your heart today in a powerful way. Because, see, Jesus came not to just save us and rescue us from the penalty of sin. He came to restore our soul so we can engage in who we are here on this planet and become everything that God has created us to be. So let's dive into the passage. Mark chapter 5, we'll begin with verse 1. This is what the scripture says. Bible says they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. In other words, this man had been staying in a graveyard. The Bible says this man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, the Bible says he snapped the chains from his wrist and he smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. In other words, he was underneath self-destruction. The Bible goes on to say in verse 6, when Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him. He ran to meet him and he bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed. I find it fascinating. The Bible emphasizes that this man basically screams out with a shriek scream. And what comes out of the man's mouth is this. It says, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" So something in this man recognized that Jesus wasn't just a son of any God, but he was the Son of the Most High God. And the Bible says that he says, "Why are you interfering with my life as I now know it?" Then it goes on to say this.
In the name of God, what was inside of the man says, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, come out of this man, you evil spirit. And then Jesus demanded, what is your name? What is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, because there are many of us inside of this man. In other words, the man could not even say who he was to the Most High God because he had so much going on inside of his mind and in his heart and his spirit that the Bible says that it says that there's too many of us to even recognize who I am. Now, maybe you know somebody like that. They don't recognize who God says they are. They don't find their identity in who God says that they are because there's multiple things telling them who they are. And the Bible goes on to say this. It says, then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Send us into those pigs, the spirits begged. Let us enter them. So Jesus gave those spirits permission, gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs and entered a herd of about 2,000 pigs, plunged down a steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. So what this tells me is there was at least 2,000 ideas of who this man thought he was. In other words, there was at least 2,000 things speaking into his spirit about who he was. I wonder how many of us have 30, 40, 50, 100, 1,000, maybe 2,000 things speaking about who we are. And what God wants to say today to you, if that is you, he says, I want to speak into your heart. Because you know what? What I come to do was for my spirit to interact with your spirit and all other spirits, leave who you are alone so that you can have peace in your heart and in your soul and be who I've created you to be. So the Bible says there's 2,000 pigs that run off into a lake. And then all of a sudden, the herdsmen, the people who were herding these pigs, they fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. The Bible says that people rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. In other words, no longer is he possessed because Jesus has spoken into his life. The Bible goes on to say he was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. The people became afraid. And the reason they became afraid is because people had been telling him who he was. And he belonged to this and he belonged to that. And in this culture, they were making money off of telling this man who he was. And now Jesus has spoken to who he really is. And now they become afraid. And they want Jesus to get out of there because this man no longer had to form to their opinion because he had formed to his identity in who God says he is. The Bible goes on to say, those who had seen what had happened, they told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, no, you cannot go with me. He says, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of the region, and he began to proclaim the great things that Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them. This man in this passage of scripture represents everyone who finds their identity and multitudes of things except the identity of who God calls him to be. And see, this is the world we live in today. There's a lot of people who have not stopped, listened, and understood long enough of who Jesus says they are. And Jesus just comes off of a ministry expedition and he says, I tell stories for one reason. It's to connect heavenly truths with the hearts of people so that they can listen to these stories and understand the things about a God. And then Jesus would go away with his disciples. He would break it down, explain all the variations of things in order that he was teaching about the kingdom of God. Now he encounters a man who had been running around in a graveyard, a man who was self-destructive, who was highly lonely, who was basically, you know, underneath the pressure of his community. He was confused, and he had never had God speak into his spirit because all kinds of other spirits spoke into his spirit, and it left him basically nameless, but with multitudes of names, and he was running around like a crazy person. Now again, you know, maybe people aren't running around here, so to say, and you know, they're always cutting themselves or running around without clothes and all that kind of stuff. But what I know is that there's a lot of people that don't know who they are in Christ. And what God wants to do through this passage is speak to your heart today about who you are in Christ Jesus and elevate your spirit to become everything he has created you to be. Because what happens is we have a spirit that the Bible refers to sometimes as a dead spirit or a spirit that's running around in a graveyard because multitudes of other spirits have spoken to our spirit and we're dead until we meet the spirit of the one that can make us alive. And it is the spirit of the Most High God. And again, the Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the powers and principalities in the universe. And so what that tells me is there are spiritual things speaking into people through physical things that basically holds them back from their God potential and their true identity and who Christ Jesus says that they are. So how do we find our identity in Christ? It's simply to stop, listen, and understand long enough of what Jesus wants to do in your life. And my friend, the first thing Jesus does in this man's life is this. I wrote it down this way, is he redeems this man. See, that's the purpose of the cross. The cross of Christ simply is God's way of telling the world that I am purchasing you out of slavery. Redeem is a term that was used to basically set slaves free from being slaves. And the Bible says that Christ redeems us as humans. What does he redeem us from? From the bondage of sin, from being enslaved to sin. What is sin? Sin is simply a picture word, missing the mark of God's glorious standard. So this is what that tells me. If you let Christ Jesus redeem you through his blood that he shed on a cross, no longer are you in bondage to miss the mark of God's glorious standard for your life, but you have the ability for God to speak into your heart and change your destiny, and you take on your identity and who he says you are. Otherwise, you'll be in bondage to sin and begin to follow what sin says you are. And there's a battle inside of every human, but God moves in. And what this passage talks about is God giving us a name with his authority and no longer letting every other thing be the authority in our life, but he become the authority of our life. And so, you know, again, the name Jesus actually means, it means one who saves. One who saves people. That's what the name Jesus literally means. He's our Savior. He's our shepherd. Why is he our Savior? He is simply our Savior because he lived a perfect life. He died on a cross, and that cross is a love sign from God for all humanity, that I come to not leave you in a self-destructive state where everything around you speaks to who you are, but I come to redeem you from that. And so what redemption does is allow us to step into the presence of the Most High God. See, the spirit that was in Jesus, or these multitudes of spirits, recognized who the Most High God was in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says that they trembled because they recognized Jesus showed up and was getting ready to basically purchase this man and set this man free. What the spirits in the world want to do is hold you hostage. They want to keep you from fulfilling your God potential, from becoming everything that God has created you to be. And if you're going to become everything that God has created you to be, whether you're male or female, young or old, no matter what color your skin is, if you are going to become everything that God has created you to be, you have to submit yourself to the redemption of what Christ did on a cross. He paid a high price for you. He paid a high price for me. He redeemed this man, and he redeemed you and me too. This is what the good news is. This is what the gospel is. It's we don't have to stay in a state of not knowing who we are. We can stop and understand and listen to the good news of who Jesus says we are. I looked at this word redeem this week, and I want to show you the benefits of redemption. Number one is this. It means that we are justified in God's eyes. You are totally justified because of the redemption of Christ. It means that we are fully adopted into his family. It means that we have eternal life because of the redemption of Jesus Christ. It means that we have an eternal dwelling place for the Holy Spirit to live in our life. Redemption means complete forgiveness. Redemption means freedom from the curse of the law. Redemption means delivered from bondage. And redemption means having the peace of God in our hearts beyond human understanding. So what Jesus does in order to rescue this man is he first and foremost redeems him. But you see, redemption wasn't all God wanted to do in this man's life, and redemption is not all God wants to do in your life. Otherwise, he don't want to just redeem you and then you go to heaven one day. He wants to also restore you. Let me show you in this passage of scripture, because this is incredible. Mark chapter 5, verse 15. The Bible says, a crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, the multitude of identities. The Bible says, and now the man, he was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. In other words, totally renovated, totally restored. And see, what a lot of people misunderstand is this, is God isn't just about forgiving us and leaving us, you know, with all this stuff piled up in our life. What God does is he remodels our life or restores our life. And what he does is he moves the old out and he puts the new in. In other words, he's not about just putting new stuff over old stuff and patching it up and covering it up. No, no, no. God's not covering up the old. God is literally ripping out the old with his spirit. Connecting with your spirit, the Holy Spirit of God in you, is literally ripping out the old stuff and putting in the new stuff. When my wife and I recently moved into a condominium, that's what we did. We didn't come in and put our stuff over the old stuff. We ripped out some of the old stuff and put the new stuff in because, you know what, we didn't want to try to work over all the new stuff we were putting in order to remove the old stuff. So we got in there and renovated that condo first. And this is an illustration of what God wants to do in your life. He don't want to leave you the same. In other words, he wants to restore your soul. And so God redeems your spirit so that he can restore your soul. In other words, your soul is your mind, is your thinking, is your sanity in life. And so what Jesus does is bring this man his sanity. He fully clothes him, which represents this man is complete in Christ Jesus. He's fully complete. And so a lot of people don't understand this. And I want to read to you what the psalmist said in Psalm 23. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Pay close attention, for his name's sake. He restores my soul for his name's sake. In other words, my creator, the Most High God, his name is on the line. And my friend, he didn't pay a high price for me so I could stay the same. It's for his name's sake in the heavenlies that he comes in and restores my soul. And so what that means is I'm a display for God. You're a display for God. In other words, we're a display of the power of God and what he can do in the human heart and the human soul. But the way he does it is he comes in, he redeems our spirit, and his spirit, the Holy Spirit, begins to make our spirit come alive. And when our spirit comes alive, our soul begins to be changed. And you know what? We don't sell our soul out for the things of this world because our soul is restored and we find our identity in who God says we are. See, God wants to restore your soul. He doesn't want to just, you know, he wants to bring wholeness to you. He wants to bring sanity to all the insanity in the world. And enough of us live around a world that has gone slap crazy. We know it, okay? So how do you become stable and sane in such a crazy world? Because the world is saying, your identity is this, your identity is that. No, your identity is who God says you are, and your spirit agrees with his spirit. And when your spirit agrees with his spirit, you're no longer confused about who you are. That's what it means to have soul restoration. Is I'm not confused. In other words, you know what? No matter how horrible it gets, I belong to God. No matter how crazy it gets, I belong to God. No matter what's going on in the world, I belong to the Most High God because I have found my identity in Christ Jesus, the Most High Son of God. And because of what he's done and redeemed me, I walk in this world because I belong to an unshakable kingdom, though the world around me is shaken and falling slap apart. But my soul is whole. See, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit, what it produces in your heart is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and a sound mind or self-control. And see, if you can't control yourself, understand you have to ask yourself, what's guiding your life? What's guiding your soul? And maybe God would come to you and say, what is your name? And what God wants you to do is say, I belong to the Most High God. But this man had such an identity crisis. He had over 2,000 answers for who he was, and he couldn't even begin to state who he was. And it just says, we are legion. Because we are too many to give it a name. See, don't let your life be that. God wants to redeem you. God wants to restore you. And the last thing I wrote down about this passage is God wants to renew who you are in your heart. Let me show you. There's a renewal that happens here. And it's found in Mark chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. This man's purpose and his relationships are renewed. says it this way. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon possessed, he begged to go with him. But Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord had done for you and how merciful he has been. See, oftentimes when God does a miraculous work in our life, many of us just want to cling to God. And I've even heard people say, well, it would be better for me just to leave this troubled world and just go to heaven. But the reality of it is that's not what God desires. God desires for when he restores your soul and renews your spirit, God sometimes will say, no, I'm not going to let you come home yet, so to say. And you need to stay where you are. Because what I want you to do is I want the mercy that I've shown you to renew the relationships that have fallen apart because of who you used to be and now who you are. And I'm a God who can renew those relationships after I redeem you and restore your soul. So I need you to go back to your family and begin to show them how merciful I've been to you. He also renews this man's purpose, because God's purpose for all humanity is simply the same. He said it in Genesis 1. He says, I'm going to create both male and female in my image. And what I want you to do is govern the earth and subdue it and not let it take over you. And what I want you to do is be fruitful and multiply and permeate my presence through the earth. Now this man has the ability to live out his purpose in the world. And Jesus says, no, you can't go with me. You got to stay where you are because the mission's not complete. And what I want to say to you today is there's sometimes when you want to move and just move with Jesus and go where Jesus is, but it's not your time. Because the reality of it is you're a person on mission. And maybe the trouble you're going through is simply so that you can renew somebody else's life with Christ Jesus, and he can work in you and he can work through you and he can speak into their heart about how merciful he is. And many people say, God, I just want out of this situation. I want out of this circumstance. Maybe you got in the circumstance because of sin, but maybe God's going to do a miracle and he's going to renew something that you never dreamed he could renew because you stay where you are and you see what God can do. My friend, I want you to know God is into renewing purpose. God is into renewing you. God is in renewing relationships. But the reality of it is sometimes we're like, man, I've been changed. So I want to evacuate and get out of this situation. See, it's amazing to me sometimes the courage that people stand in circumstances and situations. We're seeing that in the modern day world right now. We're seeing people say, you know what? Though evil is coming against my country, the Ukraine, though evil's coming against it, I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay and I'm going to fight for my country. But see, and ultimately, it's not about just fighting for your country. It's about fighting for the goodness of who God is and his miraculous power. And I believe God can change hearts and change people and change destinies because people root themselves in the things of God and he renews things. Come on. But here's the deal. It takes courage to stay. It takes bravery to stay. And really, that's who we are becoming as a church. We're becoming a people that says, you know what, we're going to live life on mission. And we're going to be, you know what, about sticking through it so God can show his faithfulness to all people everywhere. And we're going to stick to the mission. We're going to stick to the purpose. We're going to stick to who God says we are. And we're not going to let everything else tell us who we are. And my friends, if you are pulled in a million different directions, I want to encourage you today to stop and listen to who Christ says you are, and stop listening to everything else that identifies who you are. It can forever change your life. You have one name, and that name is a child of the living God, and God expects you to step into that destiny and be who He's created you to be. I'd love to pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God, and I thank you for the people here today. God, I pray today that we wouldn't be torn and stripped and pulled in every direction because we listen to what everything in the world tells us we are. But God, we would hit the pause button for just a minute, and we would listen, and we could understand that you're a God who wants to redeem us, a God who wants to restore us, and a God who wants to renew us. And God, you do that through Christ Jesus. God, you shed your blood on a cross. You defeated death. You rose from a grave so we as humans could see your love, your compassion, and your amazing power. So God, if there's one today here that's lost and basically wandering around and they don't have direction for their life and they don't find their identity in who you say that they are, God, I pray today that it would submit to your authority. And if that is you, just say, God, today I want to put my faith in you. I want to put my faith in your redemption, which is the blood of Jesus. I want to put my faith in your power. The same power you resurrected Jesus from the grave with, God, can live inside of me. And God, I want to be coached by your Spirit from this point forward all the days of my life. My friend, if you'll step into that, you'll begin to walk with the Spirit, God's going to begin to transform all of us together into this new creation. If you said that prayer today, just tell God, thank you for that gift, the gift of salvation, and you're going to walk in it from the rest of the days of your life. You're going to sit fully clothed, completely sane, and you're going to begin to walk out who He says you are. We pray this prayer today together in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged, motivated, and inspired today by the message. And again, man, we believe in you. We believe great things for you. It's because of many people's faithful giving that we're able to go out around the world. If you choose to invest in Barefoot Church, just go on over to barefootchurch.com. You can give there. But go out, live your purpose, and be inspired in a great, great way.